They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
It's great, isn't it? Isn't life great, Wade Nathaniel Duffin?
Well, it just keeps happening, that's for sure. If that's what you mean by great, it just keeps going.
It really just keeps going. Despite all efforts from myself, it just keeps ticking along.
Time doesn't stop. You just get pushed closer and closer. We like those little pennies. We've talked about this before. And those fucking weird little games. And they get dropped onto the shelf. And they just get slowly pushed towards the edge by more pennies as they get dropped onto the shelf. And then it's your turn to fall off the shelf. And then it's done. And then it's another penny's turn. And occasionally, lots of pennies fall off at once. And it's horrible. And it just keeps going. But I'm all right. I'm okay.
I think everyone can agree that Wade's penny analogy is one of the great moments of shitting with the door open. I think we all understood a penny being close to the edge.
Close to the edge!
I'm feeling quite refreshed at the moment. I have yet again put down the booze, and I am just I think I'm 5 days into that, and already feeling much better, feeling clearer, less anxious.
I reckon it's that fifth day where it does start to turn around. You know what I mean? It does take a while, like it takes 5 or 6 days. You know, the first couple of days, I'm still feeling edgy, but it's that fifth day that everything starts to kind of change. The fucking chemicals in my brain, whatever it is, start to normalize. I don't know what's going on, but you do start to feel a bit better, a bit happier. Anyway, I keep going.
I think what's happening is you've stopped poisoning your brain, and it's actually starting to function the way that it's meant to without the constant supply of fucking poison. I love booze. Not saying I'm giving it up for good, but... You know, I think in my future, there is far less times for drinking and far more times for sobriety. I just don't think I've got the time for the alternative.
No, I'm with you. It's that, it's really like picking my moments. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, this is, if I've got too much on, I go like, well, it's not the night of the drinking. It's that week recovery afterwards.
Yes.
The physical recovery takes like a day. But the mental recovery takes a long time.
Doesn't it? I'm
with you, man. It's picking my moments, like every so often, not giving up, because it's super fun. I love it. Mm. It's great.
Actually, while we're on this, I'm just going to have a little bit of a whinge about a situation I'm in with another drug. And I do have a follow-up story for my adventure that I had with my second child, the great Walter Aubrey, off into the wilderness. And, mate, it was excellent. I'll tell you all about it. But as you know, and I don't know if I've said it on here, I've certainly said this. I've been a cannabis user for a very long time. Probably the first time was 1994. And so for the vast majority of my life, I have used it illegally. Quite recently, I got a prescription and I, for the first time, bought cannabis legally in Australia. It's been an interesting experiment, the stuff that was supplied to me. I had about a 20-minute phone call with a nurse talking through the symptoms that I was experiencing. Some of those were pain related, also insomnia and anxiety. And so I was prescribed two different strains. There's two dominant strains in cannabis. One is a sativa flower, one is an indica flower. But within those sativa and indicas, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of different strains of those. Yeah. And so it's my opinion that you need medical guidance on which one will actually work for the things that you've got. Or the things that you're trying to treat with it. And the sort of early, the early data from myself was that they weren't doing that great. The one that was I meant to take for insomnia, the indica flower, was doing the opposite. And the one for anxiety was initially ramping up the anxiety for the first sort of half an hour, but then afterwards was really quite good. I felt really leveled out. The company that I did it through, which I'm not going to name on here because I don't want to give them an advertisement, do your own research and find out, because there's plenty of places around that do this now. In fact, I think your best port of call is your own GP. I think that would be the best place to guide you. So they just auto-charged me for the next month's amount of cannabis, which was a substantial amount of money, and just sent it out. I had no follow-up phone call. No one checked in to see whether the, in inverted commas, medicine is doing the thing that I want it to do, and whether or not we needed to look at what it was that I was getting. And I'm deeply disappointed in that process, because I really want regulation and legalization. And for that, you need the people providing it to act on their duty of care to take care of the patient. That's what I think. And so I'm just having a whinge about it. I think that's fucked. You can't auto-charge people for medicine without checking in to see whether the medicine is doing what it was prescribed to do.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. That duty of care, for sure. Yeah, that's wild.
Isn't it?
But also, I would say, you know, unsurprising in the world of, like, legalized weed, that people just a bit blasé about the entire...
I know. Oh, mate, I take my hat off to the stoner that came up with that business model. I got to tell you that.
Just set and forget.
Yeah. So I'm going to get onto it. I'm actually going to write them a letter and just say, hey, first of all, you can't just take out money each month. You've got, like, there has to... I don't remember on the online form there being a situation where there was an opt-in to auto payments, because it should be an opt-in, not an opt-out, and I don't remember that box at all.
Man, dude, it's funny that you... I hope you actually write them a physical letter as well, and you cut out the letters from, like, magazines. Make it super threatening.
I'll say, listen, this is what happens with the flower that you gave me that was meant to help my insomnia. I was up all night cutting out this letter. Well, I just wanted to make this point. I've said this for the whole time that I've been an advocate for cannabis and thinking it's great. It isn't for everybody, and it is not a cure-all. It's an incredible thing, and there's an incredible array of medical conditions that it can assist in. But I'm a novice. Like, I've gone through my whole life just buying it off some seedy dude on his shitty couch and fucking just trying to get the weed and get out of there. And then sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not. I'm not an expert. I don't know. I would like to know, what is this? Where was it grown? What's the active ingredients? I mean, it says it a little bit on the bottle, but I'm not a doctor. I need a doctor to help me know which one to use and what's most effective for me.
And I think as it becomes more and more prevalent in Australia, the way that it is in, like, say, California and Colorado, like this place in the States, and, like, in the Netherlands, then we will see more and more expertise come into the selling side, the manufacturing side. And we'll see more and more expertise with the diagnoses and, like, well, we can do this, we can do that. Because at the moment, I imagine they are just ticking off a checklist.
That's correct.
They're just going,
the Wild West.
You will say, it's the Wild West. You will say, these are my symptoms. And they will go through and go tick, tick, tick on some form. And at the bottom of that form will come, like, oh, he needs this brand or this brand. And there will be only a few brands to choose from in Australia, like a few strains at the moment. And it's when it really takes off that we'll see a much better quality of of marijuana, and a much more accurate diagnosis.
Yeah, and quality of care. Because the cannabis is not too bad. I'm a bit concerned of what multinational it is that's growing it, or whether it's a more independent, and what chemicals they're putting on it and all of that. But that's sort of aside. It's the quality of care. And I do think we will get better. But at the moment, it just seems to me... Because this is the first time too, by the way, that I've legitimately tried to use it as a medicine. It's for the rest of my use, which is, you know, 99.9%, has been recreationally. And it's been great. I enjoy it and all that. But I've actually been quite interested to to use this product in a holistic, healthy way as I try and decrease the volume of alcohol that I use, because to be honest, I've used alcohol a lot to put myself to sleep because I suffer from insomnia. And that's not healthy, because you're not sleeping, you're passing out, you're not having rest.
So no,
I just thought this would be a better option, and so I would like some better care with it. Yeah.
Alcohol can be a real crutch for like sleeplessness, anxiety, yes, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that experiment where they gave like some spiders all sorts of like different drugs and then watched the webs that they made? So no. They
Actually, I have seen that.
It's so wild. It's poor spiders, but fucking hell. It was real eye-opening. And I think there was a guy who like did like self-portraits as well. I'll have to find it and I'll send it to you. He took a whole lot of different drugs and then like did these self-portraits, and they're just fucking insane.
Yeah, he's quite a renowned artist, and I can't remember his name at all at the moment, but he does a portrait like with alcohol, with cannabis, with LSD, with mushrooms, with MDMA. It's really quite incredible.
It's like a... It's art.
It sure as shit is. It's a comment on something.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you went away with the great Walter Aubrey, the Crab King. Fucking what a legend. King, a little mini Steve Irwin with zero fear of fucking animals.
He's incredible. The zero fear. I mean, he actually does. He has some interesting fears. And even sometimes around the bugs and crabs and wildlife that he's obsessed with, but he's really good at regulating that. He struggles with regulating his emotions sometimes. He's become really shy, which is really interesting because Leonard never did. Although I would say now, as Leonard is in his teenage years, he has developed the embarrassed factor of his personality. He's quite embarrassed by me or for other things.
That's inevitable. That's life.
That's absolutely inevitable. But yeah, Walter, and as you said when we were off, when you're just one-on-one with one child, it's so easy. And Walter can often pose some real challenges, is the way I'm framing this now. I hate the idea of that he's a hard child, a problem child. That all that shit can fuck off and get in the bin. He's that it's not challenging. He's not the problem. There's just some different dynamics with him, with me as a parent. And mate, I could not have loved the time that we had more. Fuck, it was good. He was just so on point. He said this thing when we were... All he wanted to do was hike, right? So we went up the back of my brother's farm, up onto this sort of plateau part of the mountain at the back of his house. And there's a really cool little camping area there with a campfire sort of area. And we just set ourselves up underneath the tree in my old Land Cruiser and got our little kitchen set up and all of that, and had a double swag that we were going to sleep in. And then we went off hiking. And so we went one way up this hill, quite steep terrain too. And the other way was down a really steep hill that just goes straight back down to the farmhouse. And he'd talked about that for at least the last 6 months, and I didn't realise that was the part he was talking about. And he just wanted to go up and down that. And we went up and down this pretty big, steep. And it's all got like...
Oh, he's protruding. His father's son. He's always going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down the mountain.
What a way to talk about henna. But it had protruding mudstone coming out from the side of this mountain, which is incredibly crumbly, but, you know, very heavy, solid stone, and there'd been a heap of rain, so we were just pushing boulders down the hill, nearly squashed the dog at one point. But we'd get up to the top and I was broken and he'd be falling over. I'll get to this in a minute, but he was like, let's do it again. I'm like, oh god. All right, mate, down we go and back up. But when we were going on the other trek, which is sort of trekking through the bush, and we had our own walking sticks with us. And he's like, why do we have these? And I was like, because then we won't walk into a spider's web. And I was proven right about six times. There was huge big golden orbs right across the walking trails. And Walt was excellent about it. And at one point he goes, you know, Dad, I am something like this. He goes, I'm just my spirit. Like, that's who I am. I'm not these bones and this flesh. That's just what's wrapped around my spirit so people can see me. And when I die, my body will become all sorts of things, like grass or maybe a tree. But my spirit, it will continue on. And I went,
what?
In my head, I was trying to be really chill about it and not overreact. But I looked back at him and said, Walter, that is so profound. And he already had the biggest smile on his face because I think he knew he'd said something really amazing. And I said, that's so profound and such a mature look on life that I'm really impressed by what you just said. And he goes, thanks, Dad. And I went, and just so you know, there are people in the world that don't believe what you just said. And he went, what? Like, the speed he said what, like, and the clearness of how he said what, he basically called the entire world that doesn't believe what he believes an idiot, just in that one word, what? I
feel like he's going to be like a cult leader. His fanaticism's just going to rise above it all.
But I said, where did you hear that? Like, where's that come from? And he goes, just from me. And I went, that's because he didn't get it from me. I don't talk like that. I you know, I'm an atheist. I don't actually believe your spirit continues on. But also, who am I to know? I don't fucking know. I just found it such an intuitive and mature way to look at his existence at the age of almost seven. Like, fuck.
It's a beautiful thing to say. Like, my spirit is me, and the flesh and bones that wrap around me are just a way for people to see me. Was it that it?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, that was it. That was basically the crux of it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to look at it, because it's true. The flesh and the bones are just this little fucking, the wrapping, I guess.
Yeah.
And people, like, see the flesh and the bones, but they're not, that's not you. Like, you is something completely, yes. you're something else. Yeah, I love
yes.
it. I love it.
And I absolutely, like, it just... I mean, even in terms of having a sense of positivity about who you are and how you look, we've talked about this before, about bad body image and all of that, and even the fact that my children at different points, and Walter's been struggling with this, not liking the way he looks, the older one doesn't like the way he looks, but to be able to have that kind of presence of mind to go, but it's actually, I'm more than just this. Like, I am me, and I know who I am. This is just what you get to see. Anyway, we went trekking further, and there was just heaps of trip hazards. And he was just being a champ. Like, on any given day, at any given moment, there's spot fires with Walter because something's been frustrating. But just, we were so present with each other. It was just me and him. And he was just being chilled and relaxed about everything. And we're walking along this trail, and he trips over this protruding root. And really went down hard. And I'm going to say this, I reckon, with the exact tone he said it. He tripped, fell, hurt himself, and he went, oh, fucking hell. And it was the best tone, the best timing, the best use of it. I didn't laugh. I really had to stop myself from laughing. I'm like, yeah, man, that's hard, isn't it? He goes, yeah. And I said, just so you know, you're going to keep tripping. Like, there's a lot of tripping hazards. So we're going to keep our eyes up. And at that point, he didn't have a walking stick. And I said, and get a walking stick so you won't fall. And he's like, righto. And he got the walking stick and then nearly had another trip. And he goes, you're right, Dad. Fucking stick stopped me. I'm like, oh, God. Best of luck to your teachers.
What a little champion. And to get that one-on-one time, man, they fucking crave it. I thought about you and Walter Wallace in Perth. Claire's brother and her father took me out crabbing. Great. So we hopped on like the boat in Mandurah and went across into the bay and just kind of walking around knee-high water, trying to catch these crabs with these kind of crab nets, these kind of like wire crab nets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like on a pole.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It was a fun thing to do. The water was warm. We're just walking through. You got to catch the crabs of a certain size. You kind of like scoop them up. But every so often I'd miss, and then I'd hit the sand, and then it'd just go all like cloudy, and then this giant crab would just fucking scuttle towards me. And I wasn't like Walter just going, I'll just pick it up. I'd be like, ah! Just like, I'd just kind of like try and dance out of the way, and then I'd see it like coming back towards me and like, try to get me. And Claire's fucking brother and father thought it was so funny. And I had to own up to him, like, yeah, I don't want to get nipped. I have no intention. Getting snipped by this crab, and all I could think about was like your kid Walter just scooping them up by the handful and just go, oh, this crab nipped me. Blah, 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 blah. It was so funny.
You need Walter there as the crab king because he would have just grabbed it. I mean, some of these boulders that were pushing off that were, you know, they were just about to fall. To be honest, they were quite dangerous. Then they were all bugs underneath these rocks because there's cracks that opened up. And he just, without thinking, just hands straight on the bug. And like at one point there was this whole swarm of them and just grabbed a handful of these bugs. And then he goes, oh, look. And they're crawling all over his hands, down his arm, up his arm. And he's like, how beautiful, Dad. Look at nature. And I was like, I would not touch that.
No. When did Steve Irwin die? And when was Walter born? Like, that's what I want to know.
Very good point. And how long does it take reanimation
I'm Googling right now, Steve Irwin.
I reckon it was back in 2010, maybe
2006.
Oh, way. Oh, way
wow, a long time ago.
Yes.
And when was Walter born?
2017. Wait. So maybe Steve Irwin was just sitting in the ether waiting for the right body to
just wait for 11 years. And I reckon Irwin is the kind of guy that would do it. He'd wait it out. He's looking for the right flesh and bones to wrap around his spirit. For sure. That's what's happened.
That's what's happened. He is. He's the reincarnation of Steve Irwin.
There's no way. If I saw like a lifted up a, like a boulder and there's a whole lot of bugs in there, my first instinct isn't to put my hand into all of those bugs.
No.
It's to go,
it's to move away.
Oh, there's a lot of bugs. It's to move away.
And also the thing about Walter is that's not learned behavior. He has that is not something he's picked up from either his mother or I or Leonard, or like he's not been around people that have done that. He's just gone, I'm gonna do it. And he's like, he's not an idiot. He the night before we'd got to the farm sort of late at night and stayed in the farmhouse that first night, and I was getting him in the shower and he held up his hand. He goes, look at this, Dad. This kind of spider, it'll kill you. And I whacked his hand, because it was definitely a spider that will kill you. And I whacked his hand. And he looked at me like I was the biggest idiot. And he goes, Dad, the spider was dead. I wouldn't pick it up if it was alive. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know.
Because you're not the Crab King. How could you know?
I'm not the Crab King.
Only the Crab King knows these things.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty incredible. So then we finished up our big hikes and cooked our food. And I mean, we're up there.
What'd you guys cook? From the...
Oh, cool. We went on a shop early in the morning to just get some basic supplies. And obviously we're on the farm, so we had bacon, sausages and eggs aplenty. But sometimes it's, you know, you just got to get food down you. So what a killer lunch for Walter and really helps regulate his moods is canned fish of any kind. Whatever the is it omega-3s or whatever it is, must level his head out really well. So we just had sardines on corn thins for lunch.
Delicious.
And it gave us energy, pepped our brains up, went off for the walk. He just wanted cans of baked beans, which we don't have this house. If I make baked beans, I make them. We talked it through in the last episode. But he just gobbled down canned baked beans. And then for dinner, I was going to make bacon and sausage burgers, but he just wanted the bacon. So I just split open a bread roll and dipped the bread roll in the bacon fat and put the bacon on the burger. Yes, and he was
delicious,
happy as a pig in shit. Like, we ate really simply. It was only a day. Like, I think if I'd gone for a longer camping trip, I would have taken vegetables. We had some fruit for the
trek.
Yeah,
but still, it's a day hike with Walt. You don't need to fucking overthink it. You don't need to go like, oh, we've got to get the macro cal and the micro. We've got to make sure there's fucking vitamin and all that stuff. And it's like, no. You're going for a hike up the mountains. Eat what you want to eat.
I did do this. So I cooked his bacon. And Hannah, for my birthday, bought me a Trangia. I don't know if you know what a Trangia is. It's
never
like
heard
a camping cooking thing that all sort of folds down inside itself, aluminium. And it's the best thing I've cooked with camping. All you do, you sort of undo it and put it all back together in this sort of tower. And it's got this little tub that you fill with methylated spirits. And you just set that on fire. And it's just a jet of flame. And then it's got this little fry pan, two little saucepans that all fit inside each other. And so
great.
I was cooking the bacon in the fry pan, and then it's got quite a high side. It resulted in quite a lot of fat.
Yep.
And then I went, well, he doesn't want a sausage, but I do, because they're the best sausages. So I just threw the sausage into the pan, which splattered the oil out, and I was, of course, in my thongs, and I now have a third degree burn on the top of my foot in the size of a 50-cent piece. Fuck! It's really... It looks quite artistic. I'll send you a picture. It looks like a splotch of paint, but it's burnt through to my flesh. So that was good for the rest of the hiking.
This will be fun. Man, yeah. What a great trip. What a just an absolute baller.
It was really great. The next morning, Walter is a very consistent pooer. He gets up, does a poo, poo's done. He like nails it, is the best. And he woke up in the morning very early because you're camping. We're in a double swag together. And he goes, Dad, got a poo. And I'm like, righto, let's go. And I got the shovel, walked off into the bush, dug a hole. And he was like, cool, holding on to me to do the squat. And then he just looked at me and he goes, it's not going to happen. We're going to go back to the farmhouse. So I was like, fair enough, man. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, the farmhouse is just there. So we just went back to the farmhouse to do morning poos.
And it could have been. And then that was the end of the trip?
Yeah, that was the... So that was the end. We stuck around the farm a little bit for the morning and went and saw the pigs and chickens and did all that and then trekked home. I mean, we were about 3 hours from the farm, so we had to get back.
Man, what a great time. And if it's one of those things where if you push it too long, like it's exactly what we talked about in the last episode, exactly. You push it too long and you lose that magic. You lose that special time.
Totally.
And like some problems start to arise. And like, you know, like the novelty of it or the magic of it kind of wears off.
Yeah.
So just nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
And I think as they get older... you extend that time away, because there was moments in the day where he was like found all sorts of different reasons why he wanted to go back to the farmhouse, and I had to very gently, I didn't want to push an agenda. We were only there because that's what he wanted to do for his birthday.
Yeah.
But he needed some guidance to go, no, this is what we're doing, mate. This is where we are. This is the choices that we've made, and let's just enjoy it and get our shoes off and get on the land and then go for walks. And he was really great and very easy to redirect. But you're right, if I'd pushed it even another day, he's only a little fella, he's only six, he would have gone, I've had enough. And the core memories that we created that have been all positive would have become this chore and these challenges and fights between us. And so as he gets older, we'll go on bigger adventures and longer. It won't be just at the back of the farmhouse, which was very convenient for me, very easy, but it'll be like when Leonard was 11, we went off and went for a big drive and found this sort of secluded spot and did it for a few days, and then Leonard's next trip with me will be probably hiking in to go camping, so we'll have to carry what we can carry and do all of that.
Man, that's the best.
Yes,
the best. Those big hikes, we've talked about it recently. We really want to get the girls going on like some bigger hikes, some bigger nature walks. Just because I really enjoy it. I fucking love it. And Claire
does as
well. And so, yeah, we're just going to start off slow. Just build up.
Yeah.
And just build up and build up and build up. Even just like, all right, we'll just do like a half hour day walk. All right, we're just going to do it next week. It's like 45 minutes. And then it's an hour.
Yes.
And then you're going like, well, we're going to do 2 hour one, but we're going to take a little break in the middle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just kind of slowly build up, build up and build up and build up.
And you have a bag. Sorry, you have a bag full of snacks, and you have your water, and you create these moments, which you actually just need anyway. But you set these. This is what we did on our walks. Was like, we're gonna make it to that point, and then we're gonna sit down and have our muesli bar and our water, and then we'll get to the next point, and create these little moments of reward of what we're doing. Yeah, man, I'm pumped to hear that you guys are talking about that, because I think I've said the same thing to Hannah after we came back. I said, we've got to go. We don't all need to go camping. We can just go on family hikes. Where we live in southeast Queensland, we are surrounded by national forest, state forest, these beautiful areas that we may as well go and explore.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It'll be great. I really want to build up to doing like an overnight hike. In a couple, you know, like in a few years, right? Well, we're just going to go and do like a 2 day walk kind of thing. But even without the girls, I want to start doing it, to be honest. I want to start going for like these hikes. I used to do it when I was younger, just like a 3 day hike, a 4 day hike. It was the best. I fucking loved it. I loved it.
And you know what, man? Like, I know we bash up on these things a lot, but I used to just go off and walk through the bush all the time. Why aren't we? Oh, I would say it's very closely connected to time spent on a phone. You know, like,
you can just
put the fucking thing down and go for a walk.
Man, the last few days I've just been on the phone like nonstop. And this morning I was driving the girls to school, got to drive them to school for the next couple of months. And I was on the phone just like typing the directions into the map. Like, because I always do, because I'm always just like, just type it in. Like, I know the way to go, but I'm always overcautious. And so he's like, oh, here's dad on his phone again, and just walked past me. And I was like, oh, burn, but fucking I earned it. Yeah, I earned it. I can't deny it. This time I'm doing something useful. Every other time I have not been. So
that's right.
I would say 90% of my phone usage is just irrelevant to life. So yeah, I'm really trying hard to knock it off. Like, that would be a bigger addiction to me than alcohol. It's the phone.
Oh, absolutely. It's my number one.
Yeah. The amount that I'm on there just fucking doom scrolling like Instagram reels or just reading bored panda. It's not useful. It's not like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read this fucking beautiful essay that somebody's written about whatever your subject. I'm not like learning things. I'm not fucking bettering myself. I'm taking information in, and the smallest amount of time snippets, tiny little fucking snippets. And so I'm training my brain to not be able to fucking focus, to not be able to concentrate. Yeah. And so it is no surprise to me when I sit down to write and to work that I just fucking automatically lose focus straight away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm finding it so hard to fucking focus on one thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I've, ever since I've had a smartphone, I've trained my brain to do everything but focus.
Yeah, mate. And it's a challenge. And it's a challenge for us as individuals. It's a super challenge as a parent, like, to both get off ours and help our children not be addicted to theirs.
Yeah. I'm certainly in some ways I'm like doing well as a parent, but in the way of like phone addiction, where I'm just teaching them, oh, you just look at your phone. Absolutely not. So that is something that I really want to work on, like, over the next few months. Just fucking put it down, get rid of it.
Well, for me, even, like, you know, this stint of alcohol-free, just 5 days in, I'm doing better, because I find that, you know, when I crack a beer, usually around midday, when I don't have a show that night, I don't have anything on, I'll crack a beer, and then all of a sudden, beer's in one hand, phone's in the other. But without the beer, I'm not sitting still, because my brain is super active, which is what the beer was dulling, and I'm up and I need to be doing something. I need to be active, and all of a sudden the yard's getting cleaned, or the table that I'm building's getting finished, or whatever it is, that's also better. So I think, you know, addictions often come hand in hand with each other. So it's the phone and the beer and the cigarettes, which I'm slowly kicking, and all of those things. Anyway, we'll fucking get there, and then we'll be the penny just falling off the edge.
I finally have beaten my addiction, like, not just to the phone, but to those VR headsets that are surgically implanted into our brains in like 40 years.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, finally, I've beaten it. I no longer have to, and then right off the edge.
Right, dead. That's what'll happen to me, mate. I'll get rid of all of my vices. I'll be super healthy in the brain. I'll be fit in the body. And then they go, oh, by the way, you're going to die in 2 weeks. Fucking hell. Come
but
on.
Then you just turn around then and you say to them, that is just my flesh and bones dying. They just wrap around my spirit. My spirit will carry on.
And I'll trip praise over Walter. And go, fucking hell.
Praise Walter.
Praise to the Crab King.
Praise to the Crab King.
Oh, that guy's starting a cult for sure.
He's the Church of the Crab King. And you walk in there and you don't get like baptized by water. You've got to put your head in a bowl of like bugs and crabs and they crawl all over you.
Can you please call this episode Praise to the Crab King?
Okay, done. I'm going to call all Praise the Crab King. mate, another great chat. Good to be back.
A pleasure. Yeah, I'm going to see you in real life real soon. I'm going to come down to Melbourne for a couple of days and we'll record some episodes while I'm down there.
It's going to be fucking ripper. I'll come to your hotel room and then yes, we will get some work done and then we'll record some episodes.
Oh, mate. I'm just throbbing at the thought of it. Oh, hey, sorry. Can I do a quick plug? I'm going to put a show on sale fairly soon. It might be on sale when this goes out. I don't know. But it's called Harley Breen Sustainably Organic Free Range Comedy. And I would love you to come buy a ticket, support me, and help me feed my Crab King and the other three. That would be excellent.
And also, Claire's got some shows coming up during the festivals. I think Adelaide and Melbourne. I'm not sure if she's doing Brisbane or not, or Sydney. But anyway, have a look around for
definitely
that as well.
Definitely go see Claire Hooper at Melbourne Comedy Festival and the Adelaide Fringe.
All right, brother. Great chat. Talk to you soon.
Love you, mate. Bye.
Love you all. Dads.